This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 751. Motivate, communicate, collaborate. Three ways to be a better English learner with Koan. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, where you'll finally get real native English conversation and fluency for business and life. We believe in connection, not perfection, when it comes to learning English. Now, here are your hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA. Today, our guest will show you three simple and effective ways to get better at English learning fast. Listen in and then make these changes to your learning routine. Today, we have a special guest on the show. Our guest today has lived and worked in four different countries, Canada, Malaysia, South Korea, and China, and has traveled to 30 more. He has 7 years of teaching experience, as well as experience in web development and marketing. And he feels that donuts are a vegetable. Today's guest is Koan. Now let's meet Koan.
To get fluent and connect in English, you need a way to practice without being judged by others and to feel free to make mistakes. That's why Monica, an English teacher from Poland, joined our fluency course.
I didn't know what to expect, but when I finally opened the course and I joined the community, I realized that this is what I've been looking for.
You can join this same community that Monica joined and achieve exciting results at allearsenglish.com/plan. Save up to 20% if you join before midnight on May 5th. Offer expires at midnight on May 5th.
Hey, Koan, welcome to All Ears English. How are you doing?
I'm great, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Glad to have you here. So, Koan, I heard that you've done a lot of traveling and living abroad in your life. Where have you lived and traveled?
Oh, that's a big question. So I've lived in four countries. I'm from Canada. When I was a teenager, I moved to Malaysia for about 2 years. Yeah, and I went to an international school there. It was a really good experience. I loved it a lot. And I loved it so much that when I finished university, I went abroad again. So I lived in South Korea for about 6 years, and I taught English there.
Excellent.
Yeah, and from there I moved to Shanghai in China, and I was working in marketing there. Then I moved home to Canada about 3 years ago, and I changed my job again to web development. And now I'm back to English teaching because that's what I love to do. So. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic, though. I love to talk to English teachers who have, number one, traveled the world and they have learned languages themselves. And number two, who have worked in different fields so that you can bring insight from fields like the technology field. You said you used to build websites. Is that right? You were a web developer?
I was a web developer. So I built websites and I built web applications. So that's sort of the step up. So like dynamic, working with dynamic data, essentially.
Okay. Awesome. So that means that you are able to bring us some insights from learning other things, like learning just life lessons or different skills in the world. And we can apply that to learning English. And I bet our listeners are going to love this idea. So Koan, that's why we have you here today. I'm hoping that you can give us three solid tips about just generally learning English and getting better, being able to connect better. Like, how can we do that? And what insights can we take from learning in general?
Okay. Yeah. So that's a really good question. So when I thought about it, when you gave me the opportunity to come on this podcast, I was thinking about it and I was thinking that a lot of the things that I have to say have to do with learning in general. So why is learning a language like learning something else?
I like that.
I came up with three things. The first thing I'd probably want to talk about was just that you need to focus on your motivation, right? So this is the number one thing. Learning a language takes a long time, right? There's pretty much no way around it. It can take, if you want to get to an advanced level, if you want to be able to work in a language, it can take a long time. And so you have to keep going, right? So finding that motivation, like what is this thing inside you that makes you want to learn this language and speak with people is really, really important, right? So I think
How do we find that motivation?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think it's different for everybody. So I think for a lot of my students, they start with, a lot of them, they want to be like leaders. So I work with a lot of technical people, so engineers, software developers, things like that. And they want to be senior developers. So, for example, I have a student who's Polish, and he works for a German company, and he works with people who are Spanish and Serbian and from all over the world, but they work in English. And so his development skills are really, really good. He's been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
But he's got to take it to the next level for his career and for his family, essentially. So that's like that's one of the big motivations for people that I work with, like technical people or business people. They want to be leaders and they want to do what they do internationally. Another big motivation is people want to relocate. So a lot of my clients, they want to move to Canada or they want to move to the USA and get that like high level software job or that business job that's going to basically change their lives. And so, so in a lot of cases, that's their motivation. I try to drill down into more internal motivations. Like what are these things that are, you know, these are external things, but what really drives you to do these things? And so in a lot of cases, like say with my Polish student, it's his family. Like he wants to do really well for his family. And so we'll talk about that and I'll spend some time, not every lesson, but I mean, you know, every couple of lessons, we'll talk about that a little bit and we'll go back and we'll touch on it.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
Yeah, and so like what's keeping you motivated to keep going? Because you have to keep going with this stuff just every day, even if it's just a little bit. Like I tell my students, you have to keep going with this stuff.
I love that. So the idea is to make sure that motivation is always in your head when you're pulling out your English learning materials. You're thinking, okay, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I want to move to Canada. And why do I want to do that? I want to support my family. I want to give them a better life, for example, right?
Exactly.
That kind of idea. So what would you recommend is like so I like this tip. How can we make it practical? Like, do you have students write it down in a notebook and or post it in front of on their desk? Or how do we remind ourselves, like keep coming back to that every time we study?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that writing it down and looking at it, spending like 1 minute or 2 minutes before you sit down to study, it can be really, really powerful. And I think that... I think that keeping that, spend a little bit of time, not a lot of time, because you don't want to like overwork it, but I think spending a little bit of time every study session, even if it's just 1 minute, is important. And then like every week, if you can do like a review session and you look back at your week, so you look backwards and you see, okay, I studied, you know, I spent some time learning vocabulary on Anki every day, 10 minutes, you know, and you feel good about it because you're working towards your goal and having that positive motivation. I think
I love that.
So you spend, you know, you look back and you look at the things you've done in the week, in a 1 week chunk, and then it gives you motivation going forward. Right.
Very nice. I think that's especially important in the beginning when we're moving up to a new level in English or we're learning a new set of vocabulary words or something. We need that motivation, especially in the beginning before we can get the momentum going. Right.
Right.
Love that. Love that. Right. Okay. Go on. So what would be? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say I've got two other things.
Great.
For motivation, which is you really have to look after yourself and you have to forgive yourself because a lot of my students they are very, very smart people and they're you know they can maybe tend towards perfectionism a little bit or they have high standards for themselves, which is wonderful. But you also have to forgive yourself because you're going to make a lot of mistakes, right? So treating yourself well and understanding that this is all part of the process and you don't have to be perfect at it. So every time you make a mistake, you can get around to forgiveness and feeling good about it. And I stress that as well with my students.
Okay. I love that. Forgiving yourself, focusing on what really matters. It reminds me of what we talk about here in the podcast is connection, not perfection. So in this case, you know, usually on this show, it's about connecting with the person that we're in contact with, whether it's through email or face to face, but sometimes it's connecting with the material. But it's just about connection, not perfection. I love that. Awesome. So go on.
I did love that about the podcast. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, yeah, no, I can talk to these people. This is good.
Love that. Yeah. That's perfect. So I think that I love how you've also put motivation as the first one, because I think that's key. If that's not there, we aren't going to get anywhere. So, okay, awesome. So what's your second tip then? Go on.
So my second tip is to focus on communication. So that means when you're having a conversation with somebody, whether it's me or whether it's somebody at work, you're going to focus on being understood and not focusing on avoiding mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, and the idea behind this is that this is how you have conversations. Like native speakers, when they have conversations, they make mistakes all the time.
Yeah, sure,
We constantly make grammar mistakes, and we don't worry about it, right? We just keep talking.
Totally.
So
exactly.
I think that when you focus on that communication, I think it solves a lot of problems. It helps work on your confidence a lot, which is what a lot of students are looking for, right? They're looking for that confidence. And I feel like it helps you to sort of take that next step in your English, right? I think you'll find that a lot of, like, especially native English speakers, we're very forgiving because a lot of people are learning English and we're used to people who don't speak it as a first language. So, you know, it's not, I find a lot of my students, they're harder on themselves than like people who are listening to them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I think this is tough because our listeners here, our students have gone through just years of sitting in classrooms and probably in their home countries where the focus has actually been on avoiding mistakes, right? Uh-huh. Because it hasn't necessarily been kind of an organic, natural conversation situation. Uh-huh. And so how do we kind of retrain our brains to focus on that communication? Do you have any practical tips there? Anything, any like tactics that you use in your lessons with students to kind of remind them to come back to communication?
Right. So, I mean, what I tend to do with my students is we spend a lot of time, we spend about, you know, out of a 1 hour session, we might spend 40 minutes working on like fluency and then fluency and confidence and having conversations about things that are maybe a little bit difficult, right? Like cognitively, like intellectually a little bit difficult. A lot of my, because a lot of my students work with technical things. That's a lot of my lesson material. And then in the last 20 minutes, I'm listening and I'm taking notes. And then in the last 20 minutes, I will work on accuracy. So, so basically I'll do correction around like grammar, pronunciation, things like that. And I'll do it in a way, you know, I try to do it in a way that it's not really like, it's not difficult to work with. Like I'm not hammering them on different things, but we'll, essentially like I would say work on your, fluency and speaking quickly and naturally first, and then look at the mistakes as like, things to work on at the end. I tend to think of grammar and pronunciation as being descriptive, not proscriptive. So descriptive means it's a description of what's going on because native speakers, you know, of a language like English, we have, there's different Englishes out there, right? So, and different grammatical structures. So, and grammar is wonderful and pronunciation is wonderful and it's very useful, right? But it's, I tend to think maybe that should come second and then the communication should come first. So that's how I structure my lessons.
Oh, I like that. That's quite unique. I haven't talked to many teachers that actually do that. They split up their lessons into kind of segments where students are sort of given the chance to not even worry so much because the correction isn't even coming. It's coming in one later portion of the lesson. And that could really retrain us to think about communication. I love that. Yeah. I think that would resonate with some of our listeners here because our listeners are smart. They want to talk about interesting things with their English teacher. They want to improve their vocabulary and move to that level of connection. And I think this could be it. So in a few minutes, guys, we're going to show you how you can work with Koan, but let's move on to the next piece, your next tip, Koan, unless there's something else for that communication piece.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's enough on communication. But the third piece I would say would be to do it with other people. So do language learning and language study with other people. Mm-hmm. So there's this African proverb I learned a couple of months ago that I love, and it's sort of become part of my life, which is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together, right? Mm-hmm. And so because learning a language, it takes a long time, it's really worthwhile to go with other people, right?
Yes. So how can we do that?
Well, okay. So, I mean, one thing is, you find a teacher. I think that is important. You can't really learn a language by yourself, right?
Right.
So you find a teacher or a tutor. You don't necessarily have to spend a lot of time and a lot of money, but you should be prepared to spend some time and some money with somebody who's kind of an expert at this stuff, right? And I think you get somebody who's better at this stuff than you, and you also get people who are at your level and who are at a lower level.
Yeah.
So you get people, and you can learn from these other people, right? So you learn with people who are at your level. You get that a little bit of motivation. You get to focus on communication, and you get to see their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. And people who are at a lower level, you can teach them a little bit. And teaching them is wonderful because it's the best way to learn a language. You'll remember all this stuff.
I love this. This is a great kind of concept or tactic that people use when they're building businesses also to set up kind of mastermind groups where you're somewhere in the middle, right? You're not the most accomplished, most achieved person in the group, but you're also not the weakest. So they're somewhere in between, and you can contribute and also gain from the group. And that actually makes it such a nice experience all around for us.
Yeah.
Love that.
So I've got two more things I'm doing with other people. The first one is that human beings we're very social creatures, right? So we need groups and we need relationships.
We do.
And if you look at, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but if you look at like brain scans and activation of the brain when people are doing things, when they're in a social setting, your brain is much more active than when you're alone, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think that learning things in a social context is actually really, really important. And I have an example of that from my time when I was a web developer, which is, it's called pair programming. And so essentially when I was learning web development, I started out and I spent a lot of time by myself. And, you know, I had a lot of successes and a lot of failures. Some people can learn like that, like especially in web development, you can spend a lot of time alone. But what I found was I went to pair programming, which is you sit down with another person and one person talks and the other person types. And then you go backwards and forwards between these two people. And that was really the thing that helped me learn how to program. That really took me to the next level. And basically, there's a lot of studies out there on pair programming. And they show things like something more than 90% of people enjoy programming more when they do pair programming. 90 plus percent of people have more confidence in the program that they do when they do it in a pair, right? And it can lead to fewer errors in your code, and it can lead to people feeling more confident in their solutions and everything. So there's a lot of benefits to doing pair programming. And I think the same thing works with language learning. You know, if you're going to take something away from this, I think that, you know, if you go out and you find a group of people who are, you have to find people who are working at it, right? Like if you find people who are not serious about their language study and who are kind of quote unquote dead weight, or people who aren't doing a lot of work, that's not so good. But if you find people who are doing the work, that's contagious, right? That that will help you move your English along a lot.
Yes.
So, you know, finding a good teacher, finding a good group, I think is really important.
Yeah. And maybe I would add on to that, guys, don't be afraid to move on. You know, if you find a group of 3-4 people that are willing to meet on Google Hangouts or Skype once a week and practice your English as a group, and you meet and you find out that maybe these guys are, they're just goofing off or something, or they just want to speak in their native language. Maybe this isn't right for you. Don't be afraid to move on to another group, or, you know, keep searching for the right match when it comes to teachers as well as other students to work with. I love that idea, though. I think you're right, Koana. You know, this is part of evolution. The way we have evolved is in groups, as you said, and we shouldn't ignore that, right? Just because we all have access to the internet, we can sit in our rooms and be online alone. It doesn't mean that that's the best environment for us physically, emotionally, or socially.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is how I learn everything now. I've since I've figured this out about myself, I always try, there's at least some kind of social components with how I learn things now. So,
I love that. So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Okay. That's awesome. So I love these tips that you've offered today, Koan. Really important. Lots of things that we can take away from this. So I encourage you guys to go back, rewind this episode, listen again, and write yourself a plan of what you're going to do, how you're going to implement these ideas. And if it looks like this would be a good match for you. Now, Koan, what do you teach on italki? What are your particular offerings that you can work with our students on?
Well, so, I mean, the types of students I work with, a lot of them are technical people. Some of them are business people. Some of them want just general English. I tend to focus on spoken English. So, we'll do a lot of talking. You'll get a lot of chances to talk in class and then get some correction. And then I'll assign some written homework afterwards.
Okay.
And some, and some vocabulary review.
Okay. Awesome.
And I basically, I have two kinds of classes right now. One is English conversation, which is I will plan the class beforehand. We have class, and then I'll do a little bit of follow-up afterwards. And the other kind is the informal tutoring sessions. And so that's where students bring me things they're working on. And that can be, and that can be, you know, presentations or job interview prep, or they've, you know, they've got, they have to do a lot of writing for something and they want somebody to take a look at it. So those are the kind of things that I help students out with. So, yeah.
Awesome. And how's your schedule looking for this summer? Do you have room for a couple new students from our podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, you know, if you asked me 3 or 4 months ago, I was really, really busy, but it seems like summer, a lot of my students are Europeans. And so I think, and especially Russians, and I think they want to get outside. So yeah,
I
have some room right now. So yes.
Awesome. Good. Okay. Yeah. That's great. That's excellent. So Koan, what is your profile? Can you tell our listeners?
Yeah. So it's, italki.com. So italki.com slash Koan, K-O-A-N, teacher, all one word, Koan teacher. And yeah, and you can sign up for my classes and take a look at some of the material I have there. And
awesome. Awesome. Very good. Well, thanks for having us on. Thanks for coming on today, Koan. I really appreciate that. And we hope to have you on the show again soon.
Great. Yeah, I would love to come back. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All the best.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, follow our show wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.